D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what popping in the field.
Yeah.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Yay, Dave!
There's nobody here because UK lost.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it's like a ghost town till September.
Come on, Gonzaga.
I tell you, yeah, I did.
I love you, man. I love this podcast.
It's the SEC. It's the BS and Beer podcast. Look how far we've come. Look how far I've come. I couldn't remember y'all names.
That's right.
I didn't know where we were. I didn't know the name of the podcast.
Do you know the number to call now?
It's 504-383-3369.
There you go.
And here's the thing is that I think we gotta, you know what? We don't self-promote enough.
We don't.
Yeah, I mean, listen. You guys, man, listen. You listen to the show. I mean, I'm watching numbers there. Obviously, people listening, y'all need to, go to, iTunes and give us 5 stars, man, and, tell
there
your friends, spread the word. You know, it's like, we don't do this. So I heard another podcast. I heard them talking about they want to get paid now.
Oh, yeah?
They weren't very diplomatic when they said it. You know, they were just like, hey, we do this work, we want to get paid. And I was just kind of like, you could have handled that a little bit more diplomatically.
But hey, Dave,
this.
You know what?
What?
I want to get paid.
I know you do, but we do this as a hobby. We have fun with it. Yeah. And all we really expect in return from you guys is just a little support. Lob us a call on the hotline every once in a while. And also, literally, for me, is to look over there and see we have, since we started, over a year ago, we saw a steady increase in downloads. So, it seems like people are interested in what we have to say. So it's like, hey,
makes
you want
to
say more.
But they had to hit us up on Twitter as well.
Yeah. Oh, there's another thing. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff they can do, man.
Now, Tomas Mauricio 19.
Matter of fact.
BS and Beer. Who that?
What is that?
Mine.
I can't even remember mine. I don't use it enough. But I did get an email.
Have a picture on you. I have a picture on mine.
Let's see.
We don't participate, people, but you go out there and participate.
That's correct.
No, that's Tomas. Tomas is active on Twitter.
I am.
I just don't get it, man. First of all, I'm that guy that's like, I don't know why people want to put all their business out on the internet for everybody to see anyway. Tomas, you're a little bit older than me, but I think I got that older mentality. Okay. I didn't know you were that spry.
I am.
But, I'm like,
look, bro. Down 35 pounds.
You are. There's like a little baby Tomas running around
somewhere.
In Lexington.
There you go.
No, it's over here now. Oh.
What's the one that's the king cake baby? There you go.
Yeah. Speaking of king cake baby, did we talk about this before with the Zephyrs?
This is stupid.
No, let's hear it.
Okay. So the New Orleans Zephyrs,
Zephyrs anymore.
Right. Well, that's the point. The AAA baseball team changed the name.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I did hear about this. That's so stupid.
And I'm still trying. I don't know if this is like an actual joke or what, but supposedly now the baby cakes.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. And they actually hired a firm. I'm serious. They hired a firm.
We're in the wrong
to
business,
go
man.
Through various names that they had, and this is the one that they picked from all the ones that they had.
God, I'm in a wrong.
And then
business.
The worst thing is, if you see the mascot, I don't know any child that wouldn't dirty their diapers if they saw this mascot. Okay? I mean, good Lord.
I haven't seen it. I mean, what is it, like a little baby in a diaper with spikes on it?
No, it's got that big head like how they do for Mardi Gras.
Okay.
They had like the big, what do they call that kind of head where they use the paper mache?
Yeah.
The paper mache head kind of looking thing. I mean, I'll look it up on the phone and show it to you. But it's just... It's a gruesome thing. I mean, there's no other way. Yeah. It's not like a nice little, like you said, the Gerber baby.
Right.
The Pampers baby. No. It's something like, out of the Hacksaw Killer and,
I just don't. Why would you do
because
that?
Because the Zephyr name was the problem. You know? Well, I mean clearly that was the issue.
Not that I know what a Zephyr is either, but at least it sounds pretty cool, man. Yeah,
you
I
lived mean, in Italy. Like, you know what a Zephyr is.
I'm no.
Scirocco is the same thing.
It's a snake. I mean, you just assume I know stuff. First
it's
of
a gust of wind.
Desert,
current
desert
wind.
Wind.
A
yeah,
Zephyr.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
See, you didn't grow up in New Orleans, but it had a tie-in to New Orleans because once upon a time we had Pontchartrain Beach,
okay,
which was the amusement park in New Orleans, and the roller coaster there, the wooden roller coaster,
I heard of
was
Zephyr.
Called the Zephyr.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
Right. So when they moved here, people went, oh, man, you know, at least it has a New Orleans tie-in, right? We understand
that. I assume they named the team after the roller coaster, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of sort of did.
Yeah.
And if you ever rode the Zephyr,
they're like, you fear for your life?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was scarier than the new ones. The new ones are all metal, you know,
not the old wood ones.
And you're like going up and down. You're like, oh my God, you know.
And then you wonder why there's like an ambulance on standby, like a high school
football
game.
Yeah, sat right underneath the thing.
They just watch and wait for the next guy to scoop up. There's a line of them over there.
At the other end of the Pontchartrain Beach, as you were there, they had these, you remember this, Heath? They had these things you get in them, like the flying cars. And you had this thing where you turn this like this and it go out and it cables holding it.
Yeah.
One time the cable snapped and they call him.
Oh, that happens all the time. I mean, I don't know, a couple of last summer, some high school kids were at a water slide park and they wanted to do the thing, how many people they could get. You know, you put your legs around a guy in front of a person in front of you and then you stack it up. Well, like they stacked it up so bad, big,
Too much weight
and it just collapsed like 200 feet, man. I'm just like, oh my God, can you imagine the feeling when it's like, starts giving way? It's like, you're like, and it goes,
They'd have to bring out the hazmat.
I think I'd be dead of a heart attack.
I wouldn't hit the ground. I'd already be passed out from screaming like woman, man. So.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So what we got going on this week?
That went way off the rails. No pun intended.
I like it.
All right.
Chase Daniels. So we got some guys coming back from the days past.
Yeah. We're getting the band back together, baby.
That's right. Well, hey, the drummer, Raphael Bush, you know.
Yeah.
I have some stuff I want to talk about Raphael because I actually think he can help the team. The off-season schedule has been released. So we have the dates now of when all the different off-season
stuff
mini
is happening.
Stuff, things and stuff is happening. So we now know stuff and things. You guys mentioned Michael Marty coming back, re-signed.
Been re-signed yet.
No.
Or
making a comeback.
Making a comeback.
Medical.
Okay. And so, man, for those of you like me who try to avoid all that negative information, I didn't really know all what happened, but you guys vividly explained to me.
Yeah, in graphic detail.
In graphic detail. So I'm going to let y'all share that a little bit later. And Tomas has this. Oh, there's the Zephyr. Tomas pulls up the Zephyr. That's a mean looking little baby, though.
Yeah, but that's the color cartoon. I'm trying to find the real one.
He ain't no punk. Tomas has 1.1. Is Mach 1.1?
Yes, sir.
It's a full first round Mach, right? All 32 teams. In addition to that, we're gonna go over a couple of other Machs that we can spend a couple of minutes and compare and contrast different things going on. Sneed had a baby. Oh, that's ugly. Oh, he's showing me more pictures.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was talking about.
Nothing about that says baseball. Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah. So, how you guys doing?
Doing Tomas? Good.
Doing all right, my friend.
Yeah, you're all right.
No.
Yeah, I did mention losing some weight there.
Down 35.
35. And it's all been replaced by lean muscle, I see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My wife said that. She goes, damn, you got muscles like when you were young. I was like, thanks.
Yeah, I don't think you believe that, do you?
No.
Felt good, though, right? You want to hear it. Want to believe it.
Well, I will say this. I mean, certainly I've been working out at the gym for 3 months. I would hope that there's something there. I'm not pushing the stuff like I want to become Arnold.
And Heath, I noticed that you haven't been losing any weight.
No. So,
I've been passing it that way.
But the thing is good that we like guys. So we go in the bathroom.
I will tell you this. Brother, no. Because I'm helping out for you.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear it.
But I'm telling you this. Wednesday, everybody should come over to the SEC.
Oh, grand opening.
We have an opening of a fine restaurant. If you've been missing out on some of that fine Cajun cooking.
Yep. I'm excited, man.
It's all about marketing, brother.
Marketing. I didn't tell you about this. I'm going to make a video, and it's going to be. What we got? We got
Chef Pierre Gautreau, yes. Oh, come on down. We're going to give you some good Cajun food up
good.
Here.
Yes,
oh, yes. I'll say bon.
Yeah. So, make a little short video. We'll post it on Twitter so people can come
Twitter.
And see it.
Here we go. Twitter.
Instagram. Do it on Instagram.
There we go.
I just got one from Andres Pete today.
Did you?
Yeah.
You and Andres
because,
talking?
Yeah, because, you know, see, now on Twitter, you can actually get a live feed on Instagram where you couldn't before. So I've got the Andres Pete. There he is. He's still live right now. There you go, the Andres Pete live feed.
Wow, he's a beast. He's a beast. Yeah, the Instagram. My 13-year-old daughter does that. That's pretty cool. I'm going to get on board with that.
There you go.
So, anywho.
What's the name of the restaurant, by the way?
It's The Lost Cajun.
The Lost Cajun.
Lost Cajun Kitchen.
There you go.
Yep.
There
I wanted to make it Boudreaux's Cajun Kitchen, but there's already a Boudreaux's Cajun Kitchen in Kentucky, so the Secretary of State wouldn't let me have it. And I'm like, who is this person in like Eastern?
No, I thought you told me it was like in Western Kentucky, didn't you say?
I don't know.
Bowling Green or something
like
that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. One of the sides.
We have to go burn that place down. We do. They don't need that. Anyway, all right, so let's get this show started.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
So Cleveland's trying to trade up.
There's a couple of rumors out about trades. You know, during the break there, Heath asked me if my Mach 1.1 has any trades. And I said, no, not this one yet. That'll be 2.0. That'll be the one with the trades
All right.
that I think about. But there's some scuttlebutt out there, as they say. That some people want to trade up. What was the one you said, Heath, that wanted to trade up?
I was Panthers.
Panthers, Panthers might want to trade up. And I heard just today that there's some rumor that Cleveland actually wants number one and number two. And to me, it's like, really? You must be out of your mind. But there are a couple of trades that I think, you know, when you look down here and you see some of the people at the end, you know, of the list that are down in the last, say, last six or so on the list, which would be like Falcons, the Steelers, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Seahawks maybe. They might want to trade up because they have some holes that they really need to fill in. You know, and some of them, like, for example, the Cowboys. You know, Cowboys lost three starting defensive backs.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a big hole to fill there in the defensive backfield. So if they're going to wait all the way to number 28, even though at 28 I have them taking the defensive back, you know, they might be interested in Lattimore or one of these guys who's going to be going in the first five or six.
Right.
You know, so. But anyway, that's a lot of the scuttlebutt. That's
all right, and that'll come a little bit later in the show when
all
we
right,
start getting into the mock draft part
all
of
right.
it. Let's see. I've read a lot. The Saints had Joe Mixon in for a visit.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not aware of it, very controversial running back from Oklahoma State. And he got into an altercation. We just watched the video a few minutes ago and ended up punching this girl.
Did his best Ray Rice imitation.
Yeah, did a Ray Rice. But the difference, though, is I don't remember the Ray Rice. Was she hitting him, Ray Rice? I don't really remember. I don't think he
They
was.
Were in an elevator.
Yeah, I saw it, but I don't remember whether
and
she, like.
She was talking something or other, and he just reached back and popped.
Yeah, I think it was more verbal, and he. But this one, the girl hit him. Okay, so I feel like we've got to preface this whole thing before we get hate mail and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't condone this. We had a long conversation. I will say that, okay, so Tomas and I were discussing the way women are. Tomas, being
wow,
a little
that
bit
was a loaded
women. Wait, okay, wait. Let's rewind. The way women can be at times.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Well, like my wife don't listen to this podcast. What do I care?
But mine does.
Oh well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, he's a little bit older, and he says, you know, back in his day, women didn't behave the way women behave
right.
now. So the reason I'm adding that is because I think that's where the whole universal idea of you don't hit a woman comes from. Now I get to this point where, I mean. this one would hit him two or three times. Now, obviously, he's much stronger. He's much bigger. But this, I don't buy into this idea that if a woman, you don't hit a woman. I believe that it has to do with circumstances. You know, if the woman's hitting you, I think what he did was way excessive. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that, you know, a woman can, I mean, just how many times you've been around somebody and they talking, you know, I'm going to get you to him and do, you know, all this stuff and just making a fool. Or man, how many of you been on a date with a woman and she's over there talking to some dude that's like 6'3", 240, you know, talking about, you MF-er, you better not do that. And you're just like, girl, shut up, yeah. You know, and then it ends up getting you into a fight or something. Yeah. So the point is just like, women have changed. And again, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying it's okay to hit a woman, but at what point is it okay for women to hit men? You know, what is it okay for anybody to hit anybody?
So that's the thing. And that ties into what both you and Tomas are saying. Women's behavior has changed over the years. At one point in time, when we were solidly in the you never raise your hand to a woman world, most women didn't behave that way.
Right.
All right. But now we have women that get up. Man, I've seen some women that, I don't know, you know, they think they're man.
They
put
themselves.
Not
even talking about the woman who can actually kick your ass.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, and so they act that way, but then as soon as you knock them out or something, we're back into the you don't ever hit a woman world, you
right,
know.
Right.
And so ones we the rules on one half have changed, but not on the other half, I guess.
So, I don't like to see, I don't like to see people getting into fights and stuff like that. But I just don't think it's cool that you can go up and just hit somebody, smack them two or three times, and then when they hit you back. And the thing about it is, and this is why you don't hit a woman, is if you watch the video, she's hitting him and not much is done, but she hit him in the face. And the guy, and I said this too, you're talking about professional sports, you're talking about military people. Their entire life revolves around somebody telling them, attack, 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 get them, don't. And then their first reaction when someone's hitting them is, bam, hit her back. So it's an unfortunate situation. I don't like that it happened, but also don't like that someone can do that to you. And if you call the cops and be like, somebody hit me, and they're like, well, where's he at? Well, no, right there. Oh, her?
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know, like, yeah, so the point is that she could do whatever and nobody retaliates. And I've just seen too many situations like this where guys get in trouble over something that the woman created a situation. And this is exactly what that was. Did she deserve to get hit like that? Well, no, I'm not going to use that deserve. Should he have hit her back like that? No, it was excessive. But from my perspective, I mean, the woman's hitting him and hit him a couple of times and he smacks her. And then now he's...
Well, this is where we differ, okay? Right. Because I'm going to go back to the first rule that I learned when I was studying to defend myself. And the person who was the instructor said, rule number one, run away. So, you know, I'm going to go with rule number one. I have no idea. I can't speculate on this because we see the tape, but we see no sound. We hear no sound. So I don't know what the background is. I don't know what was said or wasn't said. But at the end of the day, if this woman comes out and hits me in my arm, in my chest, I'm walking away. I'm not going to be part of the conflict. You know. Now, I understand what Dave is saying. I know myself. You know, there was a guy that said to Gunny, I don't know if I can shoot anybody. And Gunny said, well, here are your choices. Kill or be killed. And he looked at me and said, Mauricio, you have a problem with that? I said, no, sir, I do not. Well, okay, so you're in a certain mind frame, you know, when you're doing that kind of training or that kind, you're in that position, you know. And as an athlete, I mean, we're joking around, but seriously, you know, I've been to the gym for three months, going on 4 months now. I guarantee you that I've gained muscle mass. I guarantee you that I'm, you know, more fit than I was before. And I'm not a football player. I'm not a guy who's out there really pushing the weights hard and to try and, you know, if I were to hit somebody, I'm going to seriously hurt them. Now, just think about this guy, you know, who's in the shape that he's in. Yeah, he hits another guy, he's going to seriously hurt.
Right.
You know, what happened to the guy over in the Jets, the quarterback who got tattooed and broke his jaw? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. The
Gino, act, yes, whatever his name is, right?
Smith. Yeah.
The offensive lineman or whatever he was said, hey, you owe me money. And the guy told him, and hit him in the jaw and broke his jaw.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're an athlete. There's no, I mean, for me, it's just, it's me personally. I heard everything that Dave said, and we come from different generations. So, you know, I just would never raise my hand unless you had a gun or a knife. Then all bets are off, you know. But other than that.
So, okay, that aside. So what does it mean? The Saints had Joe Mixon in to meet with him.
It means about the same thing that Manziel having a breakfast with
exactly.
Sean Payton.
I mean, the Saints are going to do their due diligence.
That's all.
Okay, he has a skill set and talent that would fit with, you know, that role that we always talk about with the Saints at running back. And they're going to talk to him and say, hey, kid, you know, what happened? We'll see what kind of guy he is. You know, they could. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It doesn't mean that they have any intention on drafting.
I agree with that. One of the things that came to light is that I didn't realize this, but I guess there's an NFL rule that says that if you're, you know, I don't know, convicted or if you get in trouble in some domestic violence, that they don't allow you to come to the combine.
That's correct.
Now, I found it interesting because a lot of teams were not happy about that because, and I can completely get this. Man, I would rather sit in a room and talk to him at the combine where really nobody knows because it's a PR issue just to invite the kid to town and have an interview with him. But I agree with you that it may not mean anything. Having said that, I'll pose it from this perspective. If you know that a guy is a PR nightmare and you don't have any real intention of drafting him, why would you schedule a visit and fly him into town and talk to him? I'm not trying to say they're going to draft him, but what I'm saying is that it seems to me, depending on what he says and how he handles it, that it would be a consideration. So to say it's not nothing, I disagree.
No. I'm not saying that there's no way they were drafting. However, I've also seen them fly in a lot of other guys that I think they have absolutely no interest in drafting.
They're just doing due diligence.
It's doing due diligence. Yeah. Sometimes I think part of it is smoke screens.
Yeah.
You know, this guy and we got who knows what they're doing, man. They've had all these guys and we don't know, you know.
And maybe we don't know. Maybe the NFL has said, hey, we want some teams to bring them in just in order to cover up for, you know, the PR nightmare that it might be, you know. Because I can tell you right now the team that he would fit in. What team takes all these people that have issues?
Cincinnati, Raiders.
There you go. My first one that came to my mind was Cincinnati.
Look, if you don't talk to the guy, if you don't find out who he is and what he's about, you don't know whether this is a guy that made a mistake can actually move on from it.
Sure.
Right.
Some people can screw up when they're young and actually move on past it and it don't make them horrible people. And I mean, you're not going to know that if you don't really talk to the guy.
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
All right. So moving on. Let's talk about the new guys that we brought back to get the band together, as Heath suggested.
Yep.
Chase Daniel.
Yep.
And if you notice there, my astute, I did not call him Chase Daniels.
No, Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel.
Let's see. I'm filibustering right now because I'm trying to pull up this.
So we signed Chase Daniel. He asked for his release from Philadelphia. It's a great signing for us because Philadelphia is actually paying him millions of dollars because his contract still isn't no matter who he signed with.
Right.
So the Saints are just signing him for the veteran minimum.
Right.
There's and then the difference
in air.
Yeah.
You know,
up to $3 million, I think they said, or something
like that. Yeah, $3 million, I believe.
But the bulk of his, you know, everything but the veteran minimum is being paid by Philadelphia. So it's a great signing for us.
Okay. So without following him, but knowing he's the next Saint and being slightly curious about the success in the NFL, I was really surprised when I saw these statistics.
Okay.
51 completions on 78 attempts.
That's
and
correct.
This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, we know he didn't play 3 years in New Orleans, but in 7 years, the guy has 78 attempts.
Right.
65% completion, 65.4, 480 yards, an average of 6 yards a completion, one touchdown, and one interception.
Well, he played the
rating
first
81.
He played the first two games in this last season. After preseason because they weren't sure about what happened with Bradford.
Are you talking about in 16?
Kansas City, Philadelphia.
Okay, because
in Kansas City.
Because he's only thrown one pass in Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, it was Kansas City. I think he played the first two games in Kansas City the last season he was there.
No, maybe it's 2013. Either way,
His most passes in a season, most attempts in a season,
yeah.
38.
Okay.
So I guess where I'm going with this is that, one, I'm surprised because at least a couple of times I heard his name brought up as a potential person who could start.
Yeah.
So I thought that at
least that's why Peterson brought him with him to Philadelphia.
Right, I thought at some point that
Matt Flynn.
At some point he would actually get a chance to throw some balls and make some plays or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here is, if he can beat out now, is a backup quarterback who actually doesn't have a whole bunch of playing experience. So I was surprised to see that. That's all I'm saying. It's an observation that I said, well, let me get his stats
up. It is interesting, and I didn't really follow him after he left, but right. I liked him when he was here.
Yeah,
I didn't follow him in Philly, but I did follow him in Kansas City because I liked him.
Yeah, and, I mean, I hated to see him go. I remember when he left. Oh, man, you know, I would have liked to have seen him stay. Yeah. He goes to Kansas City. Obviously, it doesn't work out there. He doesn't become a starter.
Well, it's kind of hard to beat out the guy that they have as a starter at Kansas City.
Well,
Alex Smith.
I think at that point in time, I don't think it was as, you know, Alex Smith's run in San Francisco didn't really give you any reason to believe necessarily that he was going to go into Kansas
City. Well, that's not true either, because when Alex Smith was in San Francisco, San Francisco was going to go to the playoffs. It didn't take Kaepernick to get him there. He lost his job because he got injured.
Right,
not because Kaepernick beat him
out. but he didn't have the run there that was to me it wasn't obvious. It was at least an open door
to see that
he could go in. Alex Smith is a better quarterback now than he was. You know, and so then he goes to Philadelphia with the guy from Peterson. When he left and went to Philadelphia, and nothing there. You know, and now he's coming back here for.
Well, because they, like
of course, it's a little different. You know, you say for that minimum, but like you said, because of the Philadelphia situation, it's a little different.
Make good money. Now, you know, when we look at McCown, he was hurt at the last year, if you remember.
Yeah.
You know, he had a back issue. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to say that he's going to be able to maintain his second string position.
Right.
You know, and I've pretty much given up on Grayson. You know, Gary Grayson, I think that's just, you know.
Yeah, I think
you'd be going the way of the wind.
I don't really think this affects him either way. I really think it's going to boil down to either McCown or Daniel.
Right, that's what I think, too.
And Grayson would be in play or not in play.
But I don't think I think they'll let him go. I don't think he'll make anything other than that. I think that he'll just be gone. I think we're going to go with two quarterbacks this year if Daniel is a second quarterback because he's young enough and he knows the offense already. It's not like he doesn't know the offense. And I think he's gained a lot of experience while he's been gone. You know, one of the things about Alex Smith was that when he was in San Francisco, he had, I don't know how many, it's every year he had a different offensive coordinator. When he was at Kansas City, he's only had one offensive coordinator who finally left to go to Philadelphia. So, you know, and the whole time that Chase Daniel was there, he had the same offensive coordinator. So, you know, I just think that it's a good fit for the Saints. I see a positive rather than a negative for it. So I think it's a good sign all around.
Here's the thing. I'm indifferent about it. I don't see anything that could even on paper get me excited about it. I don't think he's the heir apparent. The question would be, is there a guy like Chase Daniel that in the event something bad happens can get us through a 3 or 4 game period? That's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, looking at it, I mean, I don't have anything here. There's nothing there to say he can or can't. You know what I'm saying? But not as my whole thing is I was just amazed when I saw the lack of actual playing time. I just assumed that when he went that, you know, there was a game here, a game there. Somebody got hurt and he got to play or something. But really, you know, you're talking about maybe 2 game worth of experience in his career. So anyway, and moving on.
Well, let me say this to you. There are a couple of people in some of these draft mock draft things that have the Saints picking a quarterback. And from my observations of the quarterbacks that are in this draft, there aren't any that are ready to start. And I think this is one of the first – it's been a long time since we've had a group of quarterbacks that I didn't think could start,
well,
you know, from day one.
But here's the thing is that, at least for us, we don't need a guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying because if – truthfully, I see Drew playing at least 2, maybe 3, maybe even 4 more years in the shape that he's in. I mean, these people are taking care of themselves just like Brady and so forth. So if we're going to draft somebody for quarterback, he's going to sit for a while. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me at this point. And I think that that's part of the reason they thought about Chase Daniel, because, you know, he's been sitting, and it's not going to be any big loss for him to continue to sit, you know, as opposed to picking up, as an example, Kaiser from Notre Dame. And pick up Kaiser from Notre Dame. A lot of people want Trubisky, whatever his name is, from North Carolina.
You know? Mahomes, you see him.
Yeah, come
up
yeah Mahomes that. Quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah. But Mahomes, I'm going to tell you right now, Mahomes is just another version of Johnny Football. So, but anyway, I just think that it's a situation where a lot of these people are thinking that the Saints should pick up a quarterback, and I'm in disagreement. You won't see the Saints with a quarterback in this. As a matter of fact, the quarterback that I have on the list here might surprise people.
So here's where I disagree with that. And what's funny is I don't want to say this is what I want, but this is what I envision. Is there may not be guys with true starter, like, you know, just slam dunk quarterbacks, which will allow them, hopefully, although we say this, to me, it feels like we say this every year, that, oh, these guys, and they all end up getting drafted in the top 10. You know, so, but if there's a guy that has the true potential but just needs some seasoning, then you're talking about bringing a guy in, because otherwise you would not be able to get him unless we just had a total collapse.
Okay, so of the quarterbacks that are there, which one would you say fits that mold?
That's not. I mean, I'm not a quarterback expert, and I'm not saying that I want to see this.
This
guy
year, I don't see anybody.
What I'm saying though, and that's the difference, is if they were that good or had that kind of performance, then they'd be a slam dunk top five pick, you know, or top two.
There's
pick.
A lot of people that think the kid from North Carolina.
The most
should have went back to North Carolina and did another year, and then he would have been that guy.
Yeah.
Could he wind up still being that guy? Well, sure. If that was the case, then a year sitting in the, you know, or hell, maybe even playing. I don't know. I mean, depending on who drafts him. But.
So here, and it's not going to happen because, again, back to the every year we think this, with an extra pick in the first round and late 32, if there's a guy that the Saints feel that if they could sit him for 2 years and develop him, that he would actually be a guy that potentially, you know, would be a true franchise quarterback. This the it's set up to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking for anybody to agree with me. It's just a thought.
I agree.
It's
with
a thought that
yeah,
that I'm. What's better is you got an extra pick. There's quarterbacks that are, I don't know, for lack of a better definition, I had the word at the tip
prepared.
Of my just under yeah they're not underdeveloped, that's the word I was looking for, thank you, that's why I keep you around. they're underdeveloped, but they have the potential.
Like. Yeah. Two syllables.
So they have the potential. Here's the problem, is there are too many other teams that are in the same position before we get to 32, and quarterbacks don't slide that far if they have that kind of potential.
But they're going to.
Well, and we'll find out.
I don't know. So I mean, if Cleveland moves up and gets 1 and 2, they might take 2 right off.
That still give them about a 22% chance of being successful,
you know, I mean,
right?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to say to you is this, playing devil's advocate, if I might. So we get to number 32, and there are, let's say, 3 of the top 5 named quarterbacks are still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Would you pick a guy who still has to sit on the bench for a couple of years, who's not going to contribute to a team that maybe only has Breeze for 2 or 3 years, as opposed to somebody who will be able to contribute within this next season or, you know, soon thereafter? I mean,
okay.
Which way would you play
that
game?
So the answer to me?
Yes.
The answer is absolutely. Here's the thing. Where we differ is I don't think Drew Breeze has 4 great years left. I think that if there's a kid who otherwise you wouldn't be able to get him unless he was in the top 5, if you feel that way. And we got to preface this by saying the coaches and Sean Payton are sitting there saying, man, this guy, boy, with a little bit more development, he can be a real superstar in this league. Then here's what better opportunity. Breeze, in my opinion, 2 more really high-end productive seasons left. So let's get the kid, develop him, and – that's
so,
my thought. Yes, I would do it.
Right.
And we have the extra pick.
So here's the problem. First of all, I don't know that there's any recent precedent for that. Is there? Is there really anything that says you pick a quarterback and develop him for 2 or 3 years and he winds up becoming anything?
I mean, the last one I can think of
would
be Aaron Rodgers.
It used to be that way, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. More recent history, I don't actually think that's been right.
Okay.
If they got it, they got it, and they start as rookies and they wind up making it. Car,
okay,
you know,
so
these kinds of guys.
See, this is where I disagree with you. I think that they go into the season
intending on sitting him on the bench, and the guy, the stopgap that they signed, is like Osweiler, and they so bad that the team has no choice. Oh, they started off 1-4, and
the attendance is down,
and the owner knocks on the coach's door and says, "Coach, you need to start the rookie," and the rookie is usually not ready.
That's how for the Rams. That's exactly the Rams scenario this last year.
That is, absolutely.
The kid wasn't ready, not going
to
be ready.
Right, but here's the thing. I mean, think of all the quarterbacks that turned out to be the really good ones, the great ones.
They walk in the door and they're
even if their numbers aren't that great in the first year.
Right, like Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. His first year wasn't spectacular as far as like he walked in and all of a sudden it was just great. But you know whether the guy's got it or not.
I agree.
And those guys, you know, I don't know. I just can't think of enough examples of guys who were, you know, had to come in and they developed for a year or two.
I get what you're saying that you don't see it happening a lot, which – I'll make that argument too a lot, so it's hard to defeat my own argument that tell me the last time you saw that happen, you know what I'm saying? But the way that I'm looking at it and the way I need to present this argument is Peyton Manning came into the league, even though he wasn't, you know, a Pro Bowler, he came in the league pretty much a ready quarterback, right? That was the assumption.
Yeah.
He comes in the league, he's ready to start right away. And he struggled through his rookie year. These other quarterbacks are not coming in with the designation of being ready to start right away, or they would be picked in the top five.
So that's where my argument is
different. Peyton Manning and him, whatever quarterback I'm talking about at 32, are not comparable because if he was comparable to Peyton Manning, he would get drafted in the top five.
Right. Here's the funny part about what we're talking about is the other guy that they actually sat around with and trying to decide which way to go turned out to be Ryan Leaf.
Right.
So, you know, we're talking about one guy that –
cut it out, man!
Yeah, he thought there was two surefire guys, and one wound up being the biggest bust until Purple Drank there from –
Jamarcus
LSU.
Russell.
Yeah.
Purple Drank.
You know, I mean, but yeah, anyway, so – And so, in other words, what we're saying is we have no freaking idea.
I don't have any clue, but I'm just saying, to me, he asked the question. Tomas said, would you do it? And my answer is, I would rather have a guy with the potential. Like, I feel like you have to swing the bat. You cannot go and find out that Drew Brees has, hypothetically, 2 years left, and at the end of it find out that you're
more
best,
than likely, right.
Chase Daniels, your starting quarterback, or, you know, and your backup is the kid you just mentioned, our third-round draft pick.
Grayson.
And
if you continue to wait, more than likely, you're going to get to a point where you're going to be at the bottom of the barrel for a while.
And so my argument is, hey, we got an extra pick. The problem is, I'm telling you, I'm busting my own argument. Is those guys will not make it to 32. I'm telling you, I bet you all four of the top five quarterbacks will be drafted in the first round. Even if it's not top five, they're going to go.
Okay, I'm going to give you the four top quarterbacks, supposedly.
Okay.
Trubisky from North Carolina, Kaiser from Notre Dame, Watson from Clemson, and Mahomes from Texas Tech. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those are the top four guys, none of which I would pick. There is one other guy that I would consider, and he will be there.
In the first round you would consider at 32?
No. I would
just consider drafting him in general.
Draft him in the second round, probably. You know, but
Nate, what's his name?
Kaya, the guy from Miami.
Yeah, I forgot about him. I'm thinking of, what is it, Peterman? Or what's the other guy?
Oh, yeah, that's the Penn. Yeah, Peterman. That's the name.
Anyway,
got it. No. But, so, I'm just asking. You got Trubisky, Kaiser, Watson, Mahomes. Okay, any one of those four guys. You don't think that none of those. You don't think that any of those four will be around at 32.
My speculation is okay.
I'm just asking you.
No, I don't. I want to clarify. My mind tells me, My history says they're not. If an NFL team feels they have the potential, they'll get drafted one way or another prior to that. That's my thought. So,
and what about you, Heath? Do you think that these four guys will all be gone in the first round?
I think all four guys should still be there at 32 based on just my feeling about it. But I'm going to say that maybe one will still be there at 32.
Of these four guys, you think one will be there?
You know, it just seems to go that way. We sit there and talk about, the talent, there ain't that much talent. And then all of a sudden – three or four of them are gone right off the bat. You know, it's like teams just get desperate and they pull the trigger on these guys.
You know, so I heard somebody, I was listening to another podcast. It's not a local one. It was just about draft. And they had a professional scout. And he put it in a way that made a lot of sense, is that any guy that you get will not change your franchise the way that a a franchise quarterback will.
Well, sure.
So
sure.
The point is that if you think there's a chance, you really have no choice but to draft him. Because, or else you could draft, you know, that left tackle that might or might not be a starter. And I know what I'm saying is not profound. It's just that when he said it, it just made so much sense. It's like quarterbacks get overdrafted because if there's a chance that guy can turn into even a upper, you know, top 10 quarterback, top 12 quarterback, that he can change your franchise in a way that no other player can.
Right.
So you almost like have no choice.
Right.
So, and what I'm saying is that if you know that if you got to swing the bat five times, I'd rather take my swings where if it doesn't work out, then we still have a good quarterback and hopefully you hit on one of those swings before he's gone, as opposed to 3 years of dealing with, I mean, can you imagine, you know, just look at the last three seasons of 7-9. By the end of the season, we're sitting there. Now, not you, Tomas, because you're the eternal optimist. I mean, we're going to go on a run. I'm sitting there with the last four games of the season doing, we should lose these games because it'll help our draft status. You know, and yeah. It's like, it's just why we win when we out of the playoffs. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to do that.
Should lose out and get a better draft pick, and we can get one of these surefire picks
We
know are going to change our fortunes.
What's funny, though, what's funny about that is how I feel during the season.
Right.
And then when you get to the draft, you realize that that's really a bunch of horse, man. Yeah. And then, horse donkey, you know. And then you look at, they'll talk about the statistics of how many guys are successful. I can't remember what the stat was from maybe 2013, how many first-round draft picks are on any roster. And it was like, I mean, it was next to nothing.
Miami just cut the guy.
It's like every you know, like, I'm not going to say every, I can't remember, but it was like, I'm just going to throw out a number, like 75% of all the first-round draft picks from this particular year, either 13 or 12 or something like that, are no longer on a roster at all. And we're like, oh, let's get that extra pick.
Yeah.
Then you start realizing, like, man, if you get a good player, a Pierre Thomas who wasn't even drafted. Oh, well, yeah.
Who beat out a guy that we did draft.
Pittman in the fourth round.
Right.
The point is that when you find a good player, don't matter how you found him, you get a good player on your roster, you know.
Sneed.
Yeah, who had a baby.
That's right. Congratulations to.
I hope that baby don't look like that damn logo from the baseball team.
All right, well, we're gonna go over the draft at one point, but I'm going to tell you this, since we brought it up about the quarterbacks. I'm going to tell you right now that Cleveland has the first pick in the second round. And when Cleveland comes with the first pick, they don't have to trade anything. Because when they come to the first pick in the second round, the quarterback they want will still be on the board.
All right.
All right, I'm just telling you that.
All right.
We'll see if I'm predicting it correctly. But I'm telling you right now, that's my prediction. This guy right here, who is the guy that Cleveland wants,
Trubisky,
will still be on the board for first pick of the second round.
All right.
All right, we'll see.
He won't be the guy. The one that won't be there is this guy. This guy here won't be there.
You realize the people listening to this podcast cannot see what name you're tapping on.
Right, because we're going to talk about it later. I'm purposely not saying the name.
I see what you did there.
I'm going to say that whoever Cleveland really wants their quarterback should probably still be on the board at the first pick in the seventh round. Based on their recent history, okay?
All right, hold on. We'll be back in a second.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
All right, so before we get to Tomas's, what are you numbering that? It's 1.1, which is a 32 first round. I want to get to an email that I received, but quite frankly, I'm not sure. I replied to him and said, "Who?" You know, I try to be polite. I'm like, "What name would you like to go on?" Because they didn't sign the name, so I don't know who this is from, but. Maybe this is
John Doe.
That explains the whore-like nature of my pathetic existence. I'm going to read it anyway, and you know, I hope to one day get to the point where I can discard people who, you know, don't follow my criteria. But unfortunately, I'm not there yet. So okay, the email address. Oh, I'm not going to give the whole email address because that's like giving a phone number. The phone number he gave me was 555
HELP.
So DJ213 says. My prediction is that the draft first 10 picks are 9 defensive players and Fournette. Carolina traded a defensive end, and the star linebacker has concussion issues. They are drafting a defensive player, so they think Carolina's going defense. The Eagles want a running back at 11. Cook will be there. It is also likely a team might try to move ahead of Cleveland at 12 for a quarterback. Peyton is making everyone think he wants a quarterback. We just got finished talking about that, so interesting. So Saints are trading down. You know what? Every year I want them to trade down, pick up some extra picks, and they never do it. So talking about history, you know, the point you made, when's the last time? Where's the precedent for that? I don't see one. Then it goes, White from LSU played hurt last year and would make sense. Ogeron was on the you know, for the longest time I thought his name was Oregon. I didn't see them extra letters in there. Just kind of glanced over it, and I was like, oh, guy's name. Ogeron was the Saints on the Saints staff, and Peyton now has intel from the coaches on the LSU players. The Saints need to recoup the fourth and fifth round picks they don't have in a deep defensive draft. So, you know, I mean, subjective, but I think it's pretty well thought out.
Yeah, nothing crazy there.
Somehow I missed this. Tim Williams.
He said the first 10, how many?
He said nine defensive players in the first 10 picks.
I have only seven defensive players.
Well, I mean, that's still saying a lot of defense. And this happens to you. Like, oh, we want defense.
And we talked earlier about whether the Panthers want to move up or not, and that was part of the discussion is if they do, and would it be for Fournette or would it be for what's the defensive end there? Solomon.
Thomas Solomon Sam.
So, and that kind of ties into what he said about Panthers getting rid of their defensive end, and this guy basically fits the same mold as Charles Johnson.
And thanks again for the email. Guys, you know, listen, I'll give out the phone number for the hotline. We don't have any hotlines. We could usually count on little Dice to throw us a call.
Too busy with wrestling.
Yeah, he's over there watching, was it midget wrestling?
I don't know what it is.
Is that political?
Wrestling.
Yeah. By the way, he said he didn't like Goldberg, and I happen to like Goldberg. But okay, go ahead.
Okay, so 504.
He looks like you. Goldberg looks like you.
Handsome fella. Yeah. Strapping fella.
There you go.
504-383-3369.
Oh, yeah.
And lob us a call, you know. Give us your thoughts and give us something to stimulate some interesting conversation.
Follow me along on Twitter.
Yeah, follow Tomas on Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah.
BSN beer, who that?
What's mine? Mine is Saints BS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's some kind of BS, but okay.
Yeah, always. I mean, we named a show after it.
I like the name.
All right. So let's jump into your mock
draft. Ready for the mock
draft? I'm ready. Hold on. I'm going to lean back real quick.
All right, lean back.
All right.
Relax.
I'm ready.
All right, here you go. And you might be surprised. Somebody just stop me anywhere along the way when you think, oh, my gosh. Yeah, here we go. So, you know, the first pick is pretty simple. The Browns will pick Garrett, defensive end from Texas A&M. It's like a no-brainer. The 49ers, with the second pick, will pick Thomas, defensive end from Stanford.
Wait, did you say Cleveland and no-brainer?
Yeah, no-brainer. Because they have no brains. But, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Third pick, here's one where I differ from what a lot of people have. For the Bears, I have them picking Adams from LSU. At safety. Then I have the Jaguars at four going with Fournette, running back LSU. Then I have the Titans going with Lattimore, defensive back from OSU, Ohio State. The Jets.
The Ohio State.
The Ohio State, all right, yeah. The Jets, who a lot of people think would be the first one to pick a quarterback, but I think that they don't want to have anything to do with any quarterbacks at this point.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
So I think they're going to go with Allen, defensive end from Alabama. The Chargers will pick up Hooker, safety, from the Ohio State. The Panthers. Now, here I have the Panthers at number 8. And everybody's talking defense. I have the Panthers taking the offensive tackle from Alabama, Robinson.
All right.
Because you remember that they actually talked the guy starts with an O. They made the movie. No. Oyer. Ogden, whatever his name is. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The offensive tackle who was with the Ravens, they made the movie about him.
Yeah, Michael Orr.
That's it. So they talked him out of retirement to come play. So I was like, you know, they really need an offensive tackle. So that's why I went Robinson from Alabama. Number 9, the Bengals will take the linebacker from Alabama, Foster. Number 10, the Bills take a wide receiver from Clemson, Williams. And that brings us to our Saints. At number 11, I have the Saints picking Barnett, defensive end from Tennessee. So that hasn't changed. Then come the Browns again at
Taco
number 12.
Charleston?
And again, a surprise pick.
What did you say?
Taco Charleston?
No. the Browns, I have them picking the tight end, Howard, from Alabama. Then here's the first quarterback. I have the Arizona Cardinals picking Kaiser from Notre Dame as the first quarterback picked. The Eagles, Conley, the defensive back from the Ohio State. The Colts in a surprise pick.
Not a trade.
No. This 1.1 has no trades in it.
Oh, okay.
2.01
has a trade. Thank you for clarifying.
Yes, sir. The Colts and a surprise pick, offensive tackle from Wisconsin. Ramczyk, I think that's how you say his name. R-A-M-C-Z-Y-K.
Good luck with that, buddy.
There you go. The Ravens, I have them picking a fast wide receiver, Ross Washington.
He's a guy that's moving up the board fast. Yep. They talking about him going much higher than him.
Then the politically incorrect Redskins at 17. We'll be picking the safety slash linebacker set slash I have no idea where he's going to play, Peppers from Michigan. At 18, the Titans, or as I refer to them, the Titans, they will pick the wide receiver, speedy wide receiver from Western Michigan, Davis. The Bucks will pick the running back from Florida. I was waiting for his name. The running back, because a lot of people think that
was,
they will pick a defensive end.
I was slow on the draw on that one. Yeah. I was leaning back in my chair.
All right. I think the Bucks will pick at 19, the Bucks will pick Cook, the running back from Florida State, which will be terrible for us because he's a real, you know, Swiss Army knife back there.
He didn't perform well in the combine, so he slipped a little bit. I don't know if he'll get to the second round, though.
No, I think the Bucks will take it.
All right.
Bucks need a running back. Broncos. And I know that John Elway would be happy as can be. They will get McCaffrey, the Stanford running back. The Lions.
He's one. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I don't know. The Saints fans are going ridiculous over this guy talking about picking him at 11. Look, he's a talented back. He's a multi-versatile back, can fill the role. But, I mean, he's not an every-down back. I don't know how you'd pick a guy that's not an every-down back in a deep running back class at 11. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for all of you guys who think we should pick him so that you can send me some hate mail.
There you go. The Broncos will pick him. And then for our friend Gary, the Detroit Lions, or better known as the New Orleans Lions, they're going to pick.
I see what you did there.
They're going to pick.
Taco Charleston?
There you go.
Yes.
From Michigan. I believe they'll take Charlton out of Michigan.
Got another S violation.
Yeah, because it's just Charlton. There's no S in there. Okay. So then the Fish, the Miami Dolphins, I believe will take Cunningham, the linebacker from Vanderbilt. The Giants will take, in a surprise move for some people, but not to me, Bowles, the offensive tackle from Utah. Because, again, they're trying to get more security for little Manning. The Raiders, my father's favorite team, the Raiders from Las Vegas, will be taking.
Who ironically will be playing in California for 3 more years.
That's correct.
Crazy.
Yeah. But the Las Vegas Raiders will be picking the kid I really like, Reddick, a linebacker from Temple.
Listen, I'm going to disagree with you there. Yeah. Not that I can correct, but he is apparently flying up draft boards right now. There are a lot of teams who are just enamored with that guy.
Yeah.
And they're talking about he could end up being a top 10 pick.
Yes, I know.
I know. It's crazy.
But
Tomas is going to set
today.
Everybody
I was going to say to you, write your own mock draft. Okay. So then the Texans will be the first one to pick a stupid pick, and that will be the quarterback from Texas Tech, Mahomes, because they have no quarterback. Seahawks will take a defensive back who I like, King from Iowa. The Chiefs will take a quarterback as well. His name is Watson. That's probably the best pick that Kansas City could make there. He'll be good there. The Cowgirls will take the Alabama defensive back, Humphrey. For our friend Scott, the Packers will take from Michigan State the defensive tackle, McDowell. The Steelers will take from Wisconsin, where the men of men, the women of men, and the sheep run scared. They will take... They will take Watts, linebacker from Wisconsin, the little brother of the other Watts.
Little bro.
TJ.
Hey, little bro.
And then the Falcons, who do not and will not ever have a Super Bowl ring. What was that score again? 3-28? What was that?
They blew.
Yeah, 28-3. So the Falcons will take the defensive end from Missouri, Harris. And then we have the Saints with the 32nd pick. And this is why it's 1.1, because I did change from my original pick for the Saints. And this will make all the LSU fans happy.
the defensive back from LSU, Mr.
Trent
White.
Davis.
Woo! So I have the Saints taking two defensive players in the first round.
I like it.
Well, hey, and it turns out I was right because you had three quarterbacks coming off the board before pick number 32.
Yep. But like I told you, I think that Trubisky will still be on the board for Cleveland. I think that's the one that they want.
All right.
And I don't think he doesn't match in. The Texans are going to take Mahomes again for the same reason that the Rams took what the hell was that kid's name? Because he went to California. Yeah, he went to UCal. So, you know, it's the same thing here. His kid went to Texas Tech. And so it'll put butts in the seats, and they'll sell tickets, you know. I think the best fit is the kid from Clemson who does need some time. And he'll have a good foundation in Kansas City, I think. So I think that's a really good pick. And really, of all these kids, the one that I think that has the most NFL talent to start with is Kaiser. You know, he just – it's a question of he doesn't always have his feet in the right place, but that's a mechanics thing that can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my 1.1. Now I'll begin the work on 2.0, which will include some trades that I'm thinking about. There's some possibilities of some teams moving around. And as was written in by our guest on the email, you know, one of the tough things for the Saints is I was trying to put down all the Saints picks. One of the tough things is that we have five in the first 103, but then we have nothing in 4 and 5.
Right.
And there are a lot of quality players that will still be left at 4 and 5 that will probably, any other year, might have gone in the second or third round.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be available 4th and 5th, but we have nothing there. Nor do we have anything to trade for them. You know, at least from what I can see on the roster, we don't. There's nothing I can see that we would trade, with the exception of maybe Coleman. But...
well, I think it's well done, man. Now, but let's see what the other people think.
All right, you can go through the other ones and see what you
504-383-3369. Lob us a call. That's the wrong number. That's the old number.
Know,
he covered it up in the ass.
504.
Protect me. Yeah, no, the old number is written down. He put his hand over. I said, that's the old number. I got the new one memorized.
All right, all right. Just want to make sure you do.
So, but give us a call. Let us know what you think about Tomas's.
Agree or disagree, whatever.
1.1. Give us your own mock draft. You know, tell us who you think the Saints will play. So,
that's a draft I could live with for the Saints.
Yeah, that'd be a good –
two other guys that I'm kind of hoping possibilities would be around at 32. I doubt it, but one would be the aforementioned McCaffrey, and then the other guy would be Little Watt.
Little J.J.?
Little mini J.J.?
He might, but I just have a feeling that there's been a lot of talk about him, and like you were saying about how people move up and down the draft boards.
Right.
And he's one of those who's also been moving up as well.
Yeah.
And the team I have him going to, the Steelers, they could go with a linebacker. And they could go with a linebacker that they don't have to start this year.
Right.
You know, so that's why I think he's a good fit there. And so anyway, that's why I don't think he'll be there for us. Besides which, if I thought that they were going to go linebacker route, I would say they'd probably go for the kid from Florida. What the heck is the name of the kid from Florida? It'll come to me. I thought I wrote it down somewhere. I did. Here it is. Jarrett Davis, the inside linebacker from Florida.
Okay.
Again, another kid is really coming up. And there's a sleeper in there, too, the kid from Youngstown State that they were talking about, Derek Rivers. And then, of course, as always, see, and this is why if we had a fourth or a fifth, Duke Riley will probably be available around the third, towards the end of the third. Now, we do have two in the third. And in my original picks that I had over here, I have us picking Duke Riley with our 12th pick in the third round.
Matter of fact, Beckworth, you know, I thought he'd be like a first round. I mean, he's going to be somewhere a third, fourth rounder guy, you know. So my
late
thoughts.
Third, early
You know, I could be off for a whole round. I'm just saying that I thought he was a first, second rounder.
Well, I think his injury played a role in that as well.
Yeah, and his numbers haven't been good. And when he did when they went to LSU for all the pro days and all that, and just there are too many things with him that pushed him down.
Right. But, you know, I mean, hey, the history of LSU linebackers here in the last few years, you know, get that guy in the third round, fourth round, he'll end up being a pro bowler. So it'll be interesting to see. Well, Tomas, any final thoughts?
That's it? We're done?
You are see, other people got things to do, places to go. Tomas wants to do this 2 hours every week.
Yeah. I do.
We're doing another show this week? We're doing two this week?
Oh, you'd love it, wouldn't you? No, we reserve that for the regular season.
I would just say this, that I said something before. You know, we have the final of the NCAA, and I was in first place up until the round of four.
Yeah.
You know, because I only had one left in the round of four because I didn't have North Carolina. You know, so.
And you got blowed up.
Well, the person who's in first place ahead of me has Gonzaga winning, playing North Carolina. So I can't possibly win because I have Gonzaga playing UK.
I hate when that happens.
So even if Gonzaga wins, we both win Gonzaga, but she's already got North Carolina, so there's no way I can catch up.
She, you got beat by a girl?
Yep.
God, you didn't even say that.
A physician. That's correct.
Hell no.
Yeah. Yep, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid so.
Heath.
But if there's any consideration, I mean, another 19 people wish they were in second place like me.
That's a good point. How much you get for that?
Nothing. Because winner take all.
Heath.
Now, how many days we got left of this draft? I'm ready.
26.
26. We're down to 26. So that's I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, that's going to be a whole new open up, a whole new.
I got to say, man, I say this every year, but I wish we were back on the old format, you know, the old Saturday thing. Yeah, I don't like this. Anyway, that's
you
got to
make the money off the television.
Yeah.
It's on the 27th.
I don't care
and so,
about that, do you?
No, I'm not making
days.
Anything off of.
24 days.
I used to have a little get together on Saturdays to have some people over, cook out, drink some beer,
we
and
used
watch
to
the draft.
Crawfish
now
and
I'm going
to
show you my age. Are you ready for this?
Uh-oh.
I was in college and I would go with my little portable radio and stick my plug in my ear for my radio because I was in school and because the draft happened during the day.
On Wednesday. I remember being in grade school and
grade school. I'm in college. He's in grade school. There you go.
Telling my mom I was sick and lay down and watch the draft on Wednesday and just sit there all day long just watching the draft. I don't know what it is about it. That's why it's so popular.
Yep. See, in my time, it wasn't on the TV.
I still do that, but for National Signing Day on Wednesday.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
You sit around that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's interesting, too.
I call in sick.
What was – oh, yeah. So, apparently, the NFL just wrapped up negotiations with the Hard Knocks. So usually by now they've announced the team that's going to be on Hard Knocks, but they haven't announced it yet. So Saints could potentially, they fit the criteria this year.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see it?
Nope.
Why?
Why?
I mean, they kiss my backside. I want to watch the Saints. I want to see them in a locker room. I want to see them build up some nobody who doesn't have a chance to make the team and get to know them all personally. And when he gets cut, you're like, oh, I can't believe they did that. I mean, they get y'all emotionally invested in
the guy. Is that how you think about it?
Oh, man, that's what they do. That's how they do it.
Yeah. Except you see you have a much more familiarity with the team.
Yeah, no, I'll be like, man, I hope we sign him to the
apparently the word always was is they were going to be on Hard Knocks. They wanted them back in New Orleans for training camp, and lo and behold, we're moving back to Metairie this year, so we'll just add a little more smoke.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Yeah. What do you think? You want to see it or no?
I don't know. It seems to be a bad omen.
Why I don't want to say
it. I don't know that.
I just don't believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, what about, you didn't say anything about the change in the rules.
Go ahead.
Well, you know about how they jumped over and blocked the kick. Now
that's
illegal.
Oh, yeah, they changed the jump over the pile. They can't do that now.
Too late now,
And coach said that doesn't make any difference. But they should have outlawed the white shoes walking going down the sideline.
That's true, too.
Because he was out of bounds.
You got to wear different color shoes in the sideline.
There you go.
Yeah.
And no celebration.
Did he really say that or you just said that?
No, he said that.
Oh, wow.
He said it didn't make any difference about that. He said he didn't have a problem with that. It was that the guy stepped out of bounds with his white shoes.
Man. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I mean, just, you know, no fun league, you know, so.
Yeah, okay.
Can't have any. All right, well, I guess you're finished.
I'm
trying to stretch it out.
He's trying to stretch. Keep it going. Anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio.
And the baby cakes.
And I'm Dave Romero, and this has been the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Hit that hotline up.
What was that number again?
504-383-3369. Tell your friends. Get the word out, man. Let them know that we're doing this and, you know.
Twitter, BS and Beer.
Who that? Something.
BS and Beer, who that?
All right. Give us a call. Send us an email. Do whatever,
Heath,
man.
You got anything else over there?
Tell your friends.
I got nothing.
Peace.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists. Writers, reporters, editors, producers. And none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.